Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome to Women Worldwide. Let's start with a question for the listeners. Do you remember what you were doing around the age of five? Maybe many of you were going to school, playing with your friends, maybe in the neighborhood or at the playground, or maybe you were spending time with your family. Well, my guest today, Jenny Ta, was escaping Vietnam during the war at the age of five. She left on a fishing boat and then stayed in a refugee camp in Hong Kong until she was about eight. She made it to America, where she found her path to success. Today, Jenny is the founder and CEO of Squeaky, the first of its kind social networking site, which launched in 2015. She's also known as a Wall Street Cinderella, having launched previously two broker-dealer startups, Titan Securities and Vantage Investments. Jenny is here to share her story with you. Jenny, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much.
You have such a powerful story to share. Escaping Vietnam during the war and finding your path to success. So tell us a little bit about this journey and how you went from surviving to thriving.
Well, you know, you cover it, most of it. And the reason why we escaped from Vietnam, because, of course, it was the Vietnam War. My father was already a prisoner of war at the time. He was already in prison. And my mother had to make a decision either to stay in Vietnam. And I would probably, as a girl growing up around that time, probably be sold to Thailand, China, as a maid that young, because a lot of families happen like that. So my mom, as an educated woman herself, around that era, she took a gamble, and she took all my brother and myself on a very small fishing boat that can only handle like maybe 10 or 15 people, but 30 people cram on that boat.
Oh, my.
And we head out to sea, and the rest is history. So again, I started out very early with such conviction from my mother, and I believe I took that from her and ran with it till this very day.
That is such an experience. I can't even imagine that age and going through something like that. From what you've been through and what you've learned in your childhood, how has that helped to shape your career and a lot of the success that you have today?
Well, being a woman, I'm sure you yourself probably face more of similarities, but I myself, along with other minority women, would probably have a similar hit to other women, but we're probably getting hit a lot harder only because we're immigrant, we're not white. So that those are more of, the harder hits for non-American women who are thriving in the business world right here in America. But I am fortunate in the sense that because of such strong conviction that I've learned from at a very young age, never to accept no for an answer. Anytime someone were to tell me a no, I would, tend to turn it into a yes and prove them
great.
Wrong. So, and the second thing was when I started out early in my early 20s on Wall Street, I work around men. So I've also got a lot of experiences being around men, their mentality, their thinking, aggressiveness and stuff like that. So while I am a woman, but I believe my mind is very much compatible or comparable to that of a lot of businessmen on Wall Street.
Right, and you would have to be. And it's interesting because you became known as this Wall Street Cinderella. So maybe you could just talk a little bit more about how you actually wanted to stand out, but yet you fit in at the same time.
Right. And I believe till this very day, 2016, I don't believe there is any other woman who has personally founded two investment banking firms, broker-dealer. I've checked and I've done research, and if there is one, you know, after hearing your show, I would love to meet her.
Right.
I haven't yet met anyone, so I guess I am the only one, and I'm happen to be a minority woman. In terms of Wall Street Cinderella, prior to launching what I've launched, the social net worth thing that you described earlier last year, I was on Wall Street for 18 years. I started out in my 20s, very early 20s, and I sort of concluded 3 or 4 years ago because of my new launch. And Cinderella is because it literally tied to my background, who I was when I was the little girl. I was on welfare with a mother, my mother, and my brother. And so, like Cinderella, I was very poor. Welfare, wearing secondhand clothes and stuff like that, to being on Wall Street and the only woman to have founded two investment banking firms. I mean, I don't want to brag, but now I drive some of the most luxury cars on the planet. So coming from the Cinderella background to that of Wall Street, you know, the wealth, you know, when we hear of the Wall Street name, immediately we all know, oh, that's where the wealthy people are. But I was able to do that, and if I was able to do that, and being a minority, being a woman, you know, I cannot accept anyone for saying no, I can't do that, because I can't. If Jenny Ta could, anyone can. You just need to put your mind forward, put your efforts, and do what you must to get there.
Right, you need that conviction. How much, just curious, how much did education, how important was that to you, and how much did education play a part of your transition?
Well, you know, like Mr. Donald Trump, very smart man. He always praised how he was very smart in school, went to one of the top elite school. You know, I feel the same way of what he praise about education. I mentor and I praise, and a lot of my team members to this very day, I would prefer for them to work for me part-time and continue going to school and get that college degree than to ask me, Jenny, can I work full-time? But then I would have to quit college to work for you. So, you know, so again, I'm totally for education. You know, if you need to get that bachelor and lock in, then you should, unless you're one of the rare ones. And I would say the rare ones would be the dropouts of the Bill Gates of the world, the Mark Zuckerberg of the world. That's a totally different story. But majority of us, I would suggest that education is key. You need the diploma. If you could get an MBA, you're going to go into entrepreneurship.
So, Jenny, let's transition a little bit into Squeaky, because you had mentioned your social net worthing site, which is very interesting. And also would like to know, was it a difficult transition from the whole investment banking to technology and innovation, and how did that play out for you?
Yes, actually, I've had the idea with Squeaky in 2010, so we've just started 2016, so it's about 4.5 to 5 years ago, and from the idea to actually gone to Alpha, that took 2.5 years. So we sort of launched Alpha at the end of 2012. And then from Alpha to actually launching Live of just January of last year, it also took another 2 years. So the Squeaky platform is a complicated algorithm system put together, combined, and it took that long to get it up and running. So in terms of transitioning from my Wall Street background to Squeaky, the first and the only social networking platform on the planet.
Right? That's very cool.
I'm thrilled to say that, right?
Yes, I am too.
Yes, and you know, it wasn't a very difficult transaction, to be honest with you, only because when I was on Wall Street, I was specializing in technology stocks, you know, so I personally invested in the PCs of the world, the hardware, software of the world. So I understood the market very well, you know, and so when I had the idea in 2010, it was technology. So it wasn't really a huge leap from, you know, doing something else, and then all of a sudden a light bulb comes up and then I wanted to do technology. It wasn't anything like that.
It sounded like a smooth transition for you, because you were so knowledgeable being involved in the tech stocks, which is so great. It just makes it easier. I was also, you know, thinking that I'm not sure where you're going to find your answer to this question, whether it's going to be back in the days of investment banking or if it's now with technology. But what do you think has been one of your greatest challenges in business? And how did you approach and tackle that challenge?
Actually, it's interesting. For the many, many startups that I have started, it actually, Squeaky is my third one. My first two were successful. So I've been very fortunate. Squeaky just launched earlier last year, so we're still moving along. While I did have a lot of challenges, but I was able to overcome them. And I believe every time when I overcome a certain challenge, my challenges tend to get more difficult and more harder. I actually have a challenge that I'm challenging myself right now that I, you know, that I hope that I will overcome as well. But as my challenges get, you know, it gets larger and more global, which is the current challenge that I'm challenging myself. I hope to overcome that, but, you know, but to fall back on what you're saying, everything has challenges, you know, personal relationships, businesses, partnerships, anything in life, we will have challenges, period. Without challenges, there will never be any success. Okay. So I hope your audience, your listener, could lock that in. Again, everything has challenges. But to me, the most important thing when we do have challenges is to overcome them. Don't let those challenges stop you from doing whatever it is that you want it to do or you want it to become. Because if you do let those challenges stop you, then it would be game over. And if it's game over, you're done. I never, ever allow any challenges to dictate my life that my life is game over. So that's the only thing that I wanted to share in regards to, you know, challenges that we do have to face, you know, in a daily basis when we wake up, actually.
That's right. You make, you know, some excellent points, and it just goes to show no pain, no gain. And it's not just challenges in business. It is across the board. And, you know, sometimes tackling challenges, I know for me, means being creative, with those challenges and trying to figure out new ways and being more flexible to get over some big humps. But yeah, the challenges always get bigger. I'm speaking with my special guest, Jenny Ta, CEO of Squeaky. And in the next segment, Jenny will discuss women, leadership, and what makes her feel successful at the end of the day.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show where Jenny Ta and I were just discussing what it's like to be the Wall Street Cinderella and challenges in business. So, Jenny, before you said that you never take no for an answer, and I think that's excellent and more people should have that type of conviction. What other advice can you share with the listeners to help them get ahead and to really make a difference in what they're doing?
Well, to your listeners, if they're looking into entrepreneurship, obviously, the very first thing is, you have to have a creative mind. And if I were to mentor, some or all of your listeners, if they were to ask me, I do have a creative mind, but then what's next? So the next part I would mentor them is, look around. What do you see as a problem around you, around the world? And that's usually how I began my entrepreneurship, and I would start my startup or my business. I love to seek out problems, and based upon those problems, I would build something, or I would, like for Wall Street, for example, when I was 20, 21 years old, I was working for Shears and Lehman Brothers. Now, of course, after a ton of mergers, they are Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley is still existing today, but it started out Shears and Lehman Brothers years ago. So the problem at that time, when I was just 20 years old, got out of college, was I was working for them and I didn't see a lot of women. There was absolutely no women brokers, no women sitting in the bullpen, no women in the office, and all of these men dressing in their 2 to 3 piece, suits, good looking men, rich men. And I said, what's wrong with this picture? Right?
Right. You're all alone. With all those men.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I work with other women, but we were in the operations department serving the men. Okay. And I will repeat that. The women in the operations department, including myself, were serving to these men outside of the cage, walking around in their 2 to 3 piece suits, being the broker that they were. So to me, that was a problem. And I said, this is a problem. And like Hillary Clinton, I wanted to break the glass ceiling, and I wanted to be that rare woman who would be out there with the men. And you know what? I believe I did it.
You sure did. So on that note, that rare quality to be able to break through, you mentioned Hillary Clinton, and we know she breaks the ceiling, and yourself. So go down the path a little further. And when it comes to women and maybe those qualities, what makes somebody stand out? How do you break the ceiling? And what other women do you admire today who have those qualities besides Hillary? Because I think you probably do admire her very much.
Totally admire Hillary. What do we do as women? we need to do things outside of the box. I know we've heard that many times. A lot of people don't understand, well, what is outside of the box? What does that mean, being outside of the box? Being outside of the box meaning you do things non-traditionally, okay? I mean, you do things, I mean, you look at the men around you and see what they do. Try to do what they do, you know, and build something. Why is Hillary Clinton, break that glass ceiling? Because look at what she does. I mean, even Sarah Palin, I mean, she currently received not so positive news recently, but she too is a unique woman. And even Carly Fioroni, she too is unique. And Meg Whitman, I mean, I can name all the women in the world that I admire. Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, even Marissa Myers of Yahoo. All these women are fascinating women. And why are they fascinating? They're fascinating because they do things that other women need to copy, and I mean, they do things that men do, okay? And so we're in the era, we're in the 2016s of the world. Women need to be billionaires. I would love to see that next woman who can dethrone Bill Gates, being the richest woman in the world. That's what I want to see. Not another man to dethrone another man. That would be normal, you see? So that's how I think. I would love to see that woman. It doesn't matter where she's at. It would be awesome if she's right here in the USA, okay? But if you read some of the latest updates, there are a lot of women in Asia who are now multi-billionaires, okay? But I would love to see that woman right here in America who could build something, create something, run something that she could potentially dethrone Bill Gates.
Well, I share your passion, and I would love to see that too. And with, you know, the way that women are feeling empowered and having sort of the creativity and the out of the box and thinking differently, that certainly is going to get you on the right path there. So when it comes to this high level of success, So the fascinating women that you just named, everyone needs a mentor. You know, I read a lot of books where women discuss their mentors. They're on programs talking about their mentors. So tell our listeners, what's the best advice that you've ever received from a mentor, and how did that make a difference in your life or your work?
My mentor, my very, very first business mentor, of course, my first mentor was my mom, obviously. But then as I got out into the business world in my early 20s, my very first business mentor was actually a man. And he happened to be the largest producing broker at that Shears and Lehman Brothers office that I worked at. And one of the many advices that he did give me was that, as women, and, you know, of course, he knew I was a minority woman, he goes back to the same phrase, don't let anyone, any man, any woman, anybody, okay, to tell you what you cannot do, okay? And so that was very powerful to me, and I still kept it to this very day, just as I answered you a little bit earlier, that I never, ever accept no for an answer. Here it was, this man, he was, you know, Caucasian, white, mentoring me as an Asian immigrant minority woman of how to, you know, be successful as he was at the time. And, of course, he share a lot more things, but the core thing that I took with me all of these years, again, was, never accept no for an answer, and that you keep on going. Even if you trip and fall, you stand right back up, you cut your losses if you have to, but you keep on moving forward. Moving forward is the only way that you can do towards the path of success. And even if you reach that millionaire status, don't even stop there, okay? We're seeing it. Bill Gates don't stop. Mark Zuckerberg, look where he's at.
Yeah,
he's not
true.
Stopping.
No.
So, you know, from millionaire to billionaire, the next status is trillionaire. So that's my mindset, and that's my mentality.
Right, and I have a feeling if somebody said to you, you can't do this, you would make sure that you did. And I'm the same way. You know, throw a challenge
exactly.
out there and tell me I can't. Well,
exactly.
You're going to get the opposite reaction.
Right. And you know what I do more? Actually, I have a little black book, you see. I will write down that person's name, the date, the time, and a little description of what the conversation was about that person was the one who said, no, you can't do this. Then the minute when I was able to, if it happens to be a couple months later, a couple years later, I'll make sure to find that person in my black book, send them a text message or an email and say, you know what, on that day, you told me I couldn't, but Google me now and read the news. I just did. I
nice.
love that. And I've done that a couple of times already, too.
That's great. As well you should. I think that, you know, we should all have that little black book to be taking
right.
those notes. It's a good feeling. It really is. It's okay, empowering okay. when you're up for the challenge and you make it happen, and then you can show it and own it. It feels great. So, Jenny,
exactly.
at
mm-hmm.
the end of the day, what makes you feel successful? Describe what success looks like for you, maybe short term and then long term.
Well, short term, obviously, is if I were to be content, okay, which, of course, I'm not, I would have already defined success. I mean, the Wall Street Cinderella, that's me. If you Google Wall Street Cinderella, Jenny Q. Ta comes up. And all the people that I've helped, you know, up to this point, made an effect in their life, you know, helped them get richer, a lot of them, because, again, I was managing their money. You know, I would say that I'm blessed and I would be content. So in the short term, that would be my answer. But in the long term, my answer would be that success does not define how wealthy I am or, you know, how powerful I am or how well known I am. To me, that's not success. My long term success actually is I'm still working on it in a sense that I'm looking at the emerging markets of the world, you know, the emerging markets, the emerging countries of the world. They don't have a lot of people using the internet. You know, they don't have a lot of freedom that we are with technology.
Right.
I'm in the process of picking and choosing a country, and I believe I know which one already. And once when I finalize choosing that country, I would do all that I can to make sure that government, that country, will be as free and as internet savvy as that of we are in America. And I believe that's my long-term success is to pick a country and do that. And I'm currently working on that.
Well, I really admire your long-term plan for success. And I hope many people listening can think about that. And if they're in a position to do the same thing, we would make the world a better place. So Jenny, what advice would you give to my listeners who just have a big dream, but just don't feel like they have the resources to launch their vision? How can they make it a reality?
Well, you know, I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who wanted to start up something, and I've consistently see the errors that they've made. And that error, that mistake is they hesitate to start something, even if they had that good idea, because the first thing that comes up, you know, in their mindset was, I don't have the money to start something. See, that's totally wrong. Okay. That's a wrong way of thinking. You keep in mind this Jenny Ta, she was welfare driven. She was raised on welfare. So how did she start all of these, you know, great ventures, world-class ventures? Because I don't ever think that I don't have the money to start my idea. Because don't think about money first. Because if you think about money, that's going to, you know, turn your mindset, you know, opposite. So my advice to your listener, Deidre, is basically, if you do believe you have that idea, that one-of-a-kind idea, that idea is going to solve that problem, you know, around the world, then take that idea, put it together, do as much as you can, you know, based upon the money that you have, even if you have to pull some money from credit card, borrow from your mom, your brother, or whatever it is, get that idea going. And once when that idea matures a little bit, where when you sit down with that potential investor and you can tell a story, you'll be surprised. That idea of yours will gather enough investors to blossom. And that's how you should think as an entrepreneur, and that's how you should begin as an entrepreneur.
That's great advice. And it really does start with your own positive attitude and mindset to make it happen. So last question, Jenny, how can my listeners find out more about you and Squeaky?
Well, I'm very fortunate of what I've been doing so far. Anybody can just Google Jenny, J-E-N-Y, Q, that's my middle initial, Ta, T as in Tom, A as in Apple. They can literally find a lot of stuff about me, knock on wood, good things, of course, on Google. But to be specific, they can go to squeaky.com. That's squeeqee.com. And that's the social networking platform that I've founded, built. And so I'm on there all the time. You could just click on contact us and you can reach me from there.
Excellent. Jenny, thank you so much for sharing your personal journey and for being such an inspiration as an entrepreneur and a leader in business.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure. I'd like to also thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.